Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today our program is going to be answering questions that viewers have asked. Pastor Brock, our first question today is from a viewer. There is no judgment in Christ. Your book, the Bible, tells you that you are made in God's image, that God is love. There is no buts after any of those verses. I pray you find freedom. God never intended for you to live in a life of bondage and lead others into a falsehood of misinterpretation of Scripture.
Yeah, do you know what she's talking about? She saw one of our promos and didn't like it. So I think she went to my website and saw that I personally have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life, but I don't go there. Mm-hmm. And she thinks I'm in bondage because I won't go there. And she thinks I need to have a life of freedom engaging in homosexuality. And just the opposite is true. The homosexual lifestyle is filled with disease. I mean, I was doing an interview with a radio interviewer, and he said, Pastor Brock, why don't you just go with this as who you are? And I said, I'm glad I didn't. I'd be dead. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that would be alive right now, that would be my age, are dead because they went with this. Now we've got monkeypox, mm-hmm. and it's not just monkey. There's other diseases in the homosexual community. So this lady is wrong if she thinks embracing it is going to bring you freedom. Then there's 1 Corinthians 6. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. In fact, look at the next viewer question. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is a guy that struggles with homosexuality. He wrote me this.
I swore to God that I would never have homosexual sex again, and I haven't since. But now I have a different struggle. That is with pornography. I feel overpowered by it. I've tried time and time again to repent from it, but I keep returning to it. I just don't have anyone to turn to for help. I don't want to reveal my secret to my pastor because of my leadership role in the church. I am very much in fear of God's judgment, but I can't seem to shake this detestable sin. Please pray for me. Thank you, brother.
And I responded to him a couple things. Number one, I never say anymore, I swear to you, God, I'll never commit a certain sin. Mm-hmm. I don't do that because you never know. Mm-hmm. I don't talk that way. I'm glad that he's getting away from homosexual behavior. He struggles with pornography. Mm-hmm. He needs to get some kind of accountability. Mm-hmm. He needs to get a Christian man in his life or a Christian group. Go to one of these Celebrate Recovery churches where they have groups for people with drug problems or drinking problems or pornography problems. And get in either into a little group or at least have a Christian friend that will once a week pray for you, hold you accountable, how you doing in that area. Because pornography is the kind of thing you don't beat by yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't turn on your computer some days without stuff coming in that you didn't want there. Mm-hmm. So you just gotta get some accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is abortion okay in the cases of rape and incest?
I believe if somebody came to me and said, well, I was raped or incest, and I have a baby now inside me, should I terminate the pregnancy? I'd say no. It's still a baby. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw an awful episode of Dr. Phil recently where they had two pro-choicers versus two pro-lifers. And sadly, Dr. Phil's on the wrong side of the fence, and the studio audience was definitely on the wrong. But God bless this Catholic gal called Lila Rose who said, look, if it's not alive, why do you have to kill it? Mm-hmm. And she made the point that, then she says to the head of the National Organization of Women, okay, you know, because they were pressing her about this, the extreme cases of abortion. Mm-hmm. And let's say we all agree, okay, we'll have abortion for rape, incest to save the life of the mother. The other side doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. They want it for any reason. Mm-hmm. And she says to the head of National Organization for Women, isn't it true that you want abortion for any reason whatsoever during all 9 months of the pregnancy? And she wouldn't answer it, but you could tell, well, we believe in choice at all stages, mm-hmm. and this is between a woman. And no, okay, so for any reason, all the way through a 9th, well, that's what they want. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to say, okay, My belief is for rape and incest, you should still have the child. But for the sake of argument and for the sake of 98% of babies that are not killed mm-hmm. for rape, incest, mm-hmm. life of the mother, if that was the rule of the law of the land, it's still good. But again, the other side doesn't want that. They bring up the hard cases to get the 98% of the camel's nose under the fence.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah.
Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So don't unbelievers simply die with no eternal hell awaiting them?
We all die. And the reason we all die is because we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death into the world. So yes, there is death, but death is not the end. The Bible also talks about hell. Mm-hmm. So both are true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this person believes in annihilationism, that if you die without Christ, you're just wiped out. No, Jesus said you go to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm. He mentions hell numerous times.
Yes, he does.
Why isn't there more about Jesus' early years? I would have loved to read about Jesus when he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Here's what we have in the Gospels. Matthew and Luke talk about Jesus being born mm-hmm. and the events surrounding that. Mark and John don't cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have in Matthew and Luke, where Jesus is 12, excuse me, I might be just, anyway, in one of the Gospels, it talks about Jesus at age 12 mm-hmm. going to the temple, and the family can't find him, and they get frustrated. All right, so he's confounding the elders in the temple. We know nothing about Christ from age 12 mm-hmm. all the way through age 30 when he starts his 3 years of public ministry. You know, all the stuff of him healing people and telling mm-hmm. parables, all that happens within about 3 years. And then he gets crucified. It does say that that Jesus went and was submissive to his parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that during, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Mm-hmm. So he had a normal childhood and then he grew. And it even says he grew in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And meaning that at age 3, he probably didn't have trigonometry puzzles that he could solve. He was really human, mm-hmm. grew in wisdom and knowledge. So he probably had a kind of a normal childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the Gnostic Gospels, the false Gospels, like the Gospel of Thomas, make up stories about Jesus' childhood, like him making a clay pigeon and throwing it up, and it became a real pigeon.
Mm.
And I think he was also smiting some of his little enemies in one of the... But those were false Gospels. They weren't part of the New Testament. Yeah.
Wish there was a little more. When the Bible says we are to fear the Lord, what does this mean? Are we to believe God is like a monster, dreadful and scary?
No. And one of our viewers wrote a good quote that she shared with me about it's an awesome reverence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cringing fear like I can't stand God and he's going to kill me. It's an awesome reverence,
mm-hmm.
which is why we don't say, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
or take Jesus' name in vain. Because if you have an awesome reverence, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. Here's a letter from a Muslim. The Bible itself says Jesus was inferior to God. In John 14:28, the Father is greater than I. Also, Jesus denied the Trinity when he said in Mark 12:29 that God is one. Jesus was only a man. Your thoughts?
Yeah, everybody pray for this person. I'm not sure, but I'm guessing he was raised in Christianity and left it for Islam, which is different because Muslims now are leaving Islam for Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They're having dreams overseas. Mm-hmm. There are amazing things that are happening. But on a rare occasion, you have a Christian become a Muslim. And my response is this. Yes, God is one. Muslims think that Christians believe in three gods. Mm-hmm. We don't. Mm-hmm. We believe in one God in three persons.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians do believe Jesus was a man. God actually became a real man. And he quoted about Jesus sleeping and eating, and see, he was a man. Well, he sure was.
Mm-hmm.
Christians believe Jesus was totally God with the Father and the Spirit before he came down. He's born in Bethlehem, and he becomes a man, mm-hmm. and he lives on earth for 33 years or so. Then he goes back to heaven. And in a sense, Mona, Jesus is still a man. He's mm-hmm. still the God-man. He's glorified. When he comes down at the second coming, not going to look like a horse. He's mm-hmm. going to look like a man. Mm-hmm. So the glorified risen Christ is still a man in a sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Sometimes you talk about false churches. How can I tell if I am in a good church?
All right. We've talked about this many times, but
mm-hmm.
here are the questions you ask at the door. Pastor, I'm church shopping. I've never been here before. Excuse me. Pastor, does this church believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God? Do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? Do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Mm-hmm. Tell me your views on abortion, premarital sex, homosexuality. And if you get good, clear answers, that's a good church. If you get tap dancing, well, that's complex. Or, well, I think our loving God would never send anyone else. Head for the door.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I heard a pastor preach that even though he doesn't believe in homosexuality, he went to a gay wedding to show the couple his love and support. Is this right?
No. And Mona, I will tell you, again, with me, with my struggle with same-sex attraction, I went to a church in Florida once, and it was a good church. Mm-hmm. And the pastor's normally pretty good. But he got up in his sermon and said that, yes, my niece is a lesbian, and so to show her my love and support, I went to the wedding. There were two more services that he was going to have to do that morning. I got to him to talk mm-hmm. to him. I don't know if it changed him or not, but I said, my point was, I wouldn't say that. I said, I have had same-sex attraction struggle most of my life. I wouldn't go to a gay wedding. Mm-hmm. You're affirming that. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm just showing love. No, show them love by telling them lovingly, I can't go because I love you, and this is not going to help you. It's going to hurt you for eternity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he changed his sermon for the other shows, other services or not, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to a gay wedding.
You know, a lot of people say love is love, but God doesn't say that.
No, he does not. No, in fact, you reminded me. So I'm on the plane, and here I'm sitting next to, here's this older Lutheran woman. And we get to talking, she finds out I'm a pastor, and she's all pro-gay. And I said, well, you know, the Bible does speak against that. Well, love is love, she mm-hmm. says. And I said to her, but that's not love. Mm-hmm. Two men having sex or two women having sex, that's not love according to God. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like that.
Okay. But you told her.
I did, and that was nice.
And what should I do now that my son has told us he is gay?
Mm-hmm. I would love your child. I wouldn't kick him out of the house. If his boyfriend comes, I wouldn't let him sleep in the same bedroom. Mm-hmm. But I think you still love your child. You support your child. You make it very clear. In fact, I saw a dear Catholic couple give a speech on this because their son came home, who was raised in the church, and came home, Mom and Dad, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And he's engaging in stuff he shouldn't. His parents are doing it just right. They are assuring him of their love for him. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they lovingly say, God does not want this for your life. You got to do both. And you know what's tragic? I could name a couple Lutheran ELCA liberal bishops who went in the pro-gay direction because their children were homosexual. Mm. Well, mm-hmm. I've got this struggle. Mm-hmm. So what? Mm-hmm. Sin is sin. Just because your child is deciding to go into some lifestyle doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. You know? And they're not helping their child mm-hmm. by affirming this. First Corinthians 6 says you won't go to heaven if you don't mm-hmm. repent of this. So it's crazy what's happened to some of our bishops in some denominations.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know someone who worked in the church for years but now seems to have turned her back on Christ. Can a person lose their salvation?
I'm a Lutheran, but here's what a Calvinist who believes that you can't lose your salvation would say. And maybe there's truth to this. Mm-hmm. Either she wasn't really saved to begin mm-hmm. with, which is possible.
Possible.
Or she's coming back before she dies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On the other hand, there's enough in the New Testament about the danger of falling away mm-hmm. that it sure makes it look like a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, can you lose your salvation? I think we just need to beware of having a hard heart that would lead us to damnation, like mm-hmm. Hebrews talks about.
Mm-hmm. Being faithful to the end.
To the end. That's what Jesus, you have to be. Mm-hmm. I don't like this teaching that if you pray a prayer and ask Jesus in your heart, you can live like the devil the rest of your life, but hey, you prayed the prayer. Mm-hmm. That's a false assurance. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved.
That's right.
Yeah.
Will God send people to hell who never had the chance to hear about Christ? That doesn't seem fair.
Well, let's put it this way. He doesn't send anybody to hell because they didn't have the chance to hear about Christ. He saves people to hell because we all know there's a God deep in our heart. Mm-hmm. His law's been written on our heart. Mm-hmm. And we've all sinned against that God in our heart and in our behavior. So the basis for judgment is because we've all sinned. That's what gets me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all sinners.
Yeah.
Do you think we are living in the end times?
You know, you got to be careful answering this because for 2,000 years, mm-hmm. Christians have thought we're in the mm-hmm. end time. But in a sense, they're right. Because ever since Christ rose from the dead, the New Testament does talk about now we're in the end times. Mm-hmm. So there is a sense in which we've been in the end times since Christ rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Are we in the end times? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but I'll say this much. Never in the history of the church have denominations embraced transgenderism, homosexuality, taught universalism, that everybody's going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Never in the history of the church has the church endorsed abortion, mm-hmm. but the ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, they pay for abortions mm-hmm. with offering dollars yet mm-hmm. in their church's healthcare plan. This is kind of new. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, you know, does talk about false prophets coming right, you know, mm-hmm. before the end. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder, how much longer can God put up with this?
Exactly.
Or will he?
He can always. And the apostasy, too.
Yeah.
In Matthew, it says, Judas gave back the silver and hanged himself. But in Acts, it says he purchased a field and fell headfirst and split open and died.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, so the question is, which is it? Did Judas hang himself? Mm-hmm. Or did he, falling headlong, have his bowels gushed out? Two different stories. Mm-hmm. Well, St. Augustine, I think, writing in the 400s, said both are true. He hung himself. The rope broke. He fell headlong and his bowels gushed out. There you go.
There you go. How can I tell if a ministry has integrity before I give my money?
Yeah. Somebody asked this recently, and mm-hmm. I would just go to Charity Navigator, charitynavigator.org. And then type in the name of a ministry you want to give money to. Mm-hmm. And it'll show you very well what they do. Now, some ministries aren't on there, like ours, because we're kind of a shoestring operation. And mm-hmm. But for the big ministries, you want to know if you're given to the right stuff. And by the way, I don't have a jet. I'm not going to get a Porsche. We have a Christian group of directors that are very careful mm-hmm. that overwhelmingly the money that comes to us goes to buying airtime. I get a meager salary, and then you guys, all mm-hmm. of our volunteers, don't get a penny. So so if they're not on the list, mm-hmm. They can still be good. But like if you're going to give to some big organization, most of them are you can check out, are they above board or not? Mm-hmm. charitynavigator.org. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Good place to check something out,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Pastor Tom, when a person sneezes and the phrase, God bless you, is said, is that considered using the Lord's name in vain? Thank you for taking the time answering this question. I love your show. Keep up the great job for the Lord.
Yeah, you know, when if you sneeze and I say, God bless you, or Gesundheit, mm-hmm. I don't think that's wrong because mm-hmm. you probably mean it. You know, if mm-hmm. you got a cold, well, God bless you, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you use the word of God in a flippant way or as a mm-hmm. cuss word, that's definitely wrong. But if you mean it, as long as you mean it, I'd say God bless you. Why not?
You're giving him a blessing.
That's right.
So I would think that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You stated that sins are washed away by baptism. You did later emphasize that only through Christ are we saved. I have some Lutheran friends who seem to believe that when they're baptized as infants, they are saved. Could you share more insight on this?
Yeah.
And is it a sin to join a church, ELC? Oh, sorry, that's the next question.
Next question. Well, it says in Acts 18? No. Anyway, Peter says, rise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Mm-hmm. That says baptism washes away our sins. Mm-hmm. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says baptism now saves you. Mm-hmm. Not the washing, removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's a sense in which baptism saves us. Mm-hmm. Now this person wants to say, no, only Christ saves us. Well, same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm baptized into Christ. If you read Romans chapter 6, Paul says, when you're baptized, you're buried and you're raised with Christ. Mm-hmm. So what saves me? Ultimately, it's the cross that saves me. Mm-hmm. But how do I get connected to the cross? I'm baptized into Christ. So I normally talk about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Mm-hmm. But New Testament, baptism is a big deal. Mm-hmm. If anybody watching this has never been baptized, I'd get baptized. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The second part of that was, do you have to be baptized to be saved?
I believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And I it's always a part of the New Testament package that when you believe in Christ, you get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why won't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Is it a sin to join a church, ELCA, that supports same-sex marriage?
Right. This is a woman who is wondering if she, here's what's sad, because we get, if we, you and I used to be ELCA Lutherans till they went over the cliff promoting gay marriage and paying for abortions, etc. And so I get poor people out in the middle of nowhere in some small town. All they've got is an ELCA Lutheran church. So is it okay for me to join mm-hmm. here? And here's my response. There are still some good pastors and congregations in the ELCA. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly, I wouldn't go to the ELCA. But that doesn't mean there aren't some holdouts.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give my money to a church that's going to pay for abortions with offering dollars. So I would say to her, check and see if that church is on the ELCA healthcare plan. Because
mm-hmm.
that money can go to paying for abortion. And so my encouragement, if you're Lutheran, try to find a good biblical branch of Lutheranism like Missouri Synod or the Free Lutheran Congregation. Actually, all the Lutheran denominations are pretty conservative except for the big liberal one, which is the ELCA. And the same thing is true in the Anglican Church. You've got the Episcopal Church, but then you've got a good breakaway group called the Anglicans in America, and then you've got the PCUSA Church, big liberal church I would not join, but then you've got the PCA Presbyterians that are good. So there are good conservative biblical options for people that have had enough of politics. And I mean, I know somebody that I'm against racism, but he finally left his church, ELCA Lutheran Church, because he said every Sunday it seems like I'm having to hear about the sin of white supremacy, mm-hmm. and he wanted to hear the gospel.
mm-hmm.
So there you go. Yeah. Mm.
What if he's in an area where there are very limited,
you know?
And could you watch on television?
Well,
and,
I think I mean, you want to be. No, I encourage no one to just watch church on TV.
Okay.
That's not church. And, you know, for people that can't get out of the house, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. But if you can get yourself to a church, we're all commanded to be part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews, what, 10:29? Hebrews 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all commanded to be part of a church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
That's the verse, yeah. 10:29, maybe.
Well, we're out of questions. And
okay.
Was there something that wanted to share
sure.
with us?
You know, I'll tell you, we talk a lot about sharing the gospel with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this old poem that I just, it's kind of a tearjerker. And here is an Irish mother thinking about her church, her grown children now living over in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to read this. It's called When the Children Are Away. The mother says, "Myself drawing water, my old man at the plow. No grown-up son or daughter, that's the way we're farming now. No work and little pleasure," was the cry before they went. "Well, they've plenty in full measure, so I ought to be content. Great wages men is giving them in the land beyond the sea, but 'tis lonely, lonely livin' when the children are from me. To see a baby in the cradle with blue eyes and curly hair, God knows I'd give a great deal to see little Peter there. No doubt he'd find it funny lying here upon me arm, him that's making the big money on a California farm. 6 pounds it was or 7 he sent last quarter day, but 'tis lonely, lonely livin' when the children are away. God is good, none better, and things might be worse. Each month there comes a letter bringing something for the purse, and me old man's heart rejoices when I read they're doing fine, but it's oh to hear their voices and to feel their hand in mine. To see the cattle grazing, the young ones making hay, 'tis a lonely land to live in when the children are away." Now the last stanza. "When the shadows do be fallen on the old man there and me, 'tis hard to keep from calling, 'Come in, children, from your tea.' I can almost hear them coming, Mary Kate and little Sean. Lord, may all our sins be forgiven, may not one go astray. Lord, it would be hard to be in heaven if the children were away. Mm-hmm. And just the sorrow, I don't know about you, Mona. One of my biggest sorrows is my loved ones that don't know Christ. Mm-hmm. And just pray for your kids, and there you go. Well, we've got a couple of minutes here. Maybe we should do an update for the people here, everybody.
Good.
So just everybody, this show started way back in 1988. And we have been doing the show from Minneapolis ever since then. But then about 12 years ago, we went national and paid the money to buy the airtime. And then one man was very generous in his will. And so we are on a lot of stations now. That money slowly is drying up. The will money is drying up. So for us to stay on all the stations we're on right now, we need people to pray for us and to donate to us. So if God nudges you to support our ministry, there's the website where people can support us, or you can just you'll see our address there at the website too. That's the way the people can support us. Mainly I want to pray, ask you for your prayers, because you know, Mona, I go through the mail the people send here. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot of mail now, and just sweet people. You know, with as blunt as we are on this show about heaven and hell and you need Christ to be saved and abortion, homosexuality, you'd think we get a lot of hate mail. We get almost none. We get some, but most people are saying, thank you for taking a stand, Pastor Brock. I wish our pastor would talk about these things. You know, so just people have been so appreciative. It's just, it's a blessing to read through the mail. And just the people that say, Pastor Brock, we pray for you every week. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just, it's just sweet.
It's important.
So I think that's why I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So everybody, just, we want to thank you for your support now and through the years. All of our TV shows, if you want to rewatch this show or some other show, just go to the website. You can watch them there for free. We don't have the wherewithal to send out DVDs, but you can watch all of our shows at our website. And Mona, we got about 45 seconds. Should we sing or dance, or what should we do?
You're a good singer.
Okay.
I got.
No. But but anybody, again, thank you, everybody. Thanks to all of our volunteers. It takes a lot of volunteers to run this ministry, and they all do it because they love the Lord, and they're just serving Him freely from their heart, like Mona and all the other people involved. So now we've got 25 seconds, Mona. Now what do we sing? Anyway, I'm just trying to kill time, but God bless you, and we appreciate all the people that write and call, and just a lot of loving people out there that support us. So,
and if you have any questions, please write them in so we can answer them. Have a good week. God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.